Turn to Genesis, the 18th chapter. I want to welcome each of you today. I'm starting a series on the family, the Christian family, and we'll be here for a couple weeks doing that. But Genesis, the 18th chapter, is where I want to start today. We'll be moving around a little bit. We'll go from Genesis to Deuteronomy, then we'll end up in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. That's where we'll be this morning. Genesis 18, and I want us to read verse 19. Genesis 18, 19. And this is speaking of Abraham, God speaking of him. He says, I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. Loving Heavenly Father, we're grateful to gather today. Thank you for these young couples. And they have a monumental task before them in a world that is lost its way. But Father, we recognize something, that you're able, through your servants who would humble themselves to you, to allow them to raise families, to raise children that are godly and will make an impact in the world. We thank you for that. Thank you for your love for the family, for this institution that is so precious to you. And when we look through the words of the Scripture, we see how you've brought about influence and witness into the world through families. And Father, as the family goes, so goes the society. And these are days in which we need to stand up and stand for what's right and redouble our efforts to pursue you and to teach and to instruct and to lead others, young ones, to you in the way that they ought to go. So, Father, I pray that you'd help us to understand that today. Minister, if you would, to those that are before you right now. We need your Spirit to do that, because it may be that we've come in here today and our thoughts are far from you, or maybe we're even thinking about something else even in this moment in time. Father, I pray you draw them into yourself, into your Word, and we might see it and know truth and be free and be able to conduct ourselves as we should. We pray that right now in Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you today about some principles for parenting. The whole idea is that family does really matter. The family is the thread that holds our society together. The importance and influence of family cannot be overstated. The family in this nation is being shattered and torn apart today. You can observe that easily in what you see in the media and all around us. Marriages are struggling. Divorce is now seen as a viable option. It has been seen that way for a while. And the institution of marriage itself has been redefined by our society. So goes the nation and our children. They have drifted, it seems, far from you, and families and parents have. But our children and grandchildren are growing up in this hour, and it's an hour that's like no other. It's hardly recognizable to what it was a few short years ago, let alone what it was 40 years ago. The movies and video games depict the killing of others as a norm and an acceptable response in this society. The daily news reveals the killing of the young and old alike and those in between. Our society has afforded our children and others, with the click of a mouse, immediate access to that which should not be seen. Pornography, it seems, is everywhere and available to anyone. The effects of that is something that we still have not, I believe, fully comprehended. It is extremely harmful to the family, to individuals. The society in which they live, which our children live, is a society that parades about the immoral and perverted as that which is preferred and celebrated. If someone abducted our children, we would make sure, we'd give every effort to bring that one back to safety. We would do everything we could to get them back. But our children, our grandchildren, and our young people are being abducted, not physically. No, we could easily see that. We'd respond immediately. No, it's their hearts and their minds that are being abducted. It's happening today. It's before our very eyes. It's our culture that I believe in being empowered by the enemy that's responsible for that. Their views and their influence seeks to steal their souls. And we're facing that. Every generation, you know, has its unique challenges in regards to the family. But none has faced the unique challenges that are upon us right now. And I don't want you to think for a moment that I stand before you as someone singing the blues and believe that God is not able. That is not the case at all. This is a challenge we face, and our God is up to it. Furthermore, as parents, you're being squeezed. I understand this. You're being squeezed and pressured, grandparents as well, to acquiesce, to compromise with them, with society for fear of being branded as out of touch, old-fashioned, ignorant, or having some phobia of some type that has left you without any ability to reason whatsoever. But we cannot give in to the pressure that surrounds us. This is nothing new. It maybe have new look to it, but it's nothing new. God's people have faced this for their entirety. But if there was ever a time to be devoted to the Word, to fight for our children and our grandchildren, it's right here and it's right now. This is the time. We're not going to give their souls over to the devil. We won't do that. You know, we are to love the Lord, and we are to teach our children to do the same. Okay? That's really the simplicity of what I have to say to you today. I'm gonna go at that in a lot of different ways, but this really comes down to this, to love our Lord and to teach our children to do the same. Each of us have a great privilege and responsibility. And that is to live our lives for the Lord and to make it a priority to do the same with our children, grandchildren, and all those that God has put into our path. See, whether we're a parent or a grandparent or not, we all have young people, someone we have influence over, and we need to make a difference in this moment in time in our generation with them. Do we want good children or godly children? That's a question I want to pose to you this morning. Do you want good children or do you want godly children? I want you to see from the scripture today that God desires that we lead our children, our grandchildren, the next generation to become godly young men and women. It would be true that many Christian parents want good children. They don't want to pit them against their peers or society. They want them to get good grades, to go to a good school. They want a good education for them. They want them to make a good living, to marry a good spouse, and to have a good family. But do you know what God wants? He wants godly children. He wants godly parents. He wants us to lead them to Him, to love Him, to teach Him, to teach them to do the same. There are many principles in the Scripture today concerning this influence, this godly parenting, this godly living. I'm going to stick with five. The first I've had you turn to. I'll read the text again. I want you to see it closely. For I have chosen him, Genesis 18:19, speaking of Abraham, so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. God chose Abraham, and he had a purpose in doing so. He desired that Abraham lead and direct his family in the ways of the Lord in order to make a difference in his world, in his time. So here is the overarching principle to the five principles I'm going to give you this morning, and it is this: to glorify God. God has given you family, and your family, and as parents, as grandparents, the overarching thing is to honor God, to bring honor and glory to His name. That's what God's saying about Abraham. This is why I chose him, to make a difference in the world, ultimately to glorify me. You know, it was through Abraham that Messiah, the perfect one, the promised deliverer would come, and Jesus came through that family. I don't know if you've ever thought about family in the Scripture. It's an amazing study. And I haven't exhausted it, but when I think of family and glorifying God, I think of Abraham, and I think of him and Sarah and so forth. And how, what came from that? Well, a great nation, a nation that the world looks to today. Israel, a nation where other nations are surrounding. They still hate those people because I believe it goes all the way back here. God chose him. But God has used that family powerfully and the nation Israel powerfully. Think of another family. I was thinking of Noah and his family. What a difference they made in their time. You can follow it right through, but I want you to think about, you know, when Messiah came, when he was introduced to the world, the one that was the forerunner of Jesus Christ was his cousin, John the Baptist. That's family, see? And when Jesus chose the disciples, two sets of those disciples were brothers, James and John, Peter and Andrew. He could have did it differently. He could have did it differently with Noah. He could have had someone else help build the ark. He could have did it differently with choosing the 12, but he chose those 12, and two sets of those were brothers. We're not in the book of Acts today, but you'll find out, I think it's Acts 22, that Paul's life was spared because his nephew overheard a plot. His sister's son overheard a plot to take Paul's life, and he let Paul know about it. Paul ushered him off to the authorities to let them know. One of the books in the Bible, the book of James. James became an early church leader. He was a brother of Jesus. God has used families throughout the years. Throughout the years. It's so important, friend. We need to fight for our families. We need to fight for our children. We need to be those ones that say it really does make a difference. Be glorifying. Have it as our goal that our family ultimately brings honor and glory to the Lord. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your bodies. He's saying, you know, the Christian and Christian family especially, it's about glorifying God. Jesus said it this way, let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Philippians 3:15, I love this verse. I think it's right here, right now. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom we appear as light in the world, holding fast the word of life. That's what it's about. Family is really, really important. It's vital to the work of God and the work that God chooses to do on this earth. So I don't know where you're at today in regards to thinking about family. But I want you to think about it in these terms. Our family should be all about glorifying God, living in such a way among this world to bring honor to his name. That's the overarching principle I want to give to you. If you'll turn a few pages over to the book of Deuteronomy, sometimes I bring this charge to couples when we dedicate our children. I did it out of 2 Timothy today, but Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, is an equally and powerful word of God to us, and that is to be consistent. To be consistent. And this is Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 8. And it says this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And listen, you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontals on your forehead. He's talking about the Word of God there. And see, we're called to be consistent, to love the Lord, and to teach our children and our grandchildren, and for some of you great-grandchildren, maybe for some of you great-great-great-grandchildren, I don't know. But we are to teach, and we have a teaching role. I'm a parent still. My children are grown, but I still have a role with them. I have a role with my grandchildren. I have a role with the young people in this church. I have a role with young people that I'm around. And so do you. So do you. And this is what we're to be about. We're to be about teaching them what we value. And we need to value the Word of God, and we need to value our God. And it's a 24/7 deal. You see that? You shall teach them, verse 7, diligently to your sons, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. So when you're at a ball game, when you're at a ball game, when you're out hunting, when you're shopping, wherever you're at, in the backyard with a grandchild, and wherever you're at, you're pointing them to the Lord. There's a lot of ways to do that. A lot of ways to do that. And we need to be about that. But what we value, they will. Okay, so what's most important in your life? Is it the Lord? If it is the Lord, they will understand that. They all have a free will. And we are to train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Some of us have thought, that's a promise from God. I want to tell you, that's not a promise from God. That's a truth to life. The whole book of Proverbs is that. There's not a guarantee that if you walk with God as you ought, your child or grandchild, someone else will do the same. That's not a guarantee. It's a truth to life. Most times it's true. But we are to be about teaching them. And what I value in my life, my children immediately pick up on. So do others around me. Do I really value God? We want to ask that question. We are always to be about this. That's what it is, 24/7. So be consistent. What we value, they will. And what we live instills. What we live instills something into them. Now listen, you're not looking at someone who's a perfect parent. Some have said, if I had it to do all over again, I wouldn't. But if I had it to do all over again, there's some things I would do differently. There certainly are. And I think my children understand and have understood that Becky and I, have never pretended to be perfect parents. There are none of them, right? Well, I don't know. I don't think they are. There are none of them, right? The first couple didn't do so well in the Bible, did they? No. So, you know, there's room for us to grow and to learn and to change as we go. But what we live instills. In this text, it's to teach, instruct, talk, walk. It's 24/7. That is, our life revolves around our relationship with God. We've gotten away from that. Everything else seems to be more important, but it cannot be. If you want to make an impact in your children and grandchildren and those God has put into your life, we need to take this very, very seriously. So be consistent. Be consistent. Don't be a certain way here, and then when you're out there, you look exactly like the world. You're saying the same things. You're seeing the same things. You're doing the same things. I'll tell you what. There's no power behind that. There's no strength for those that you are striving to lead in that. They'll see right through it. If you ever want to know, by the way, our children they know us better than we know ourselves. I've noted that in our family. I've noted that in other families. They know just the right, they know how to get you to the point where you finally step over the edge and you lose it. They really do. They know us well, and so we need to be looking to the Lord. And then I want to finish up in Ephesians 6. There's just a couple things here that I want us to know. But I do want, turn there if you would, Ephesians the 6th chapter. This is vital. This is, I believe, so, so important at this time, in this place, in this nation, right now. Ephesians 6, I'll pick it up in verse 1. I'm going to really park in verse 4, though. I want you to see the context a bit here. This is really about living in a world. You know, we've been bought with a price. We've been saved. So then we could ask, how then do we live? And he answers it here in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And it says this, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So the first thing I want to say here is to be encouraging, okay? Be encouraging. There's a lot against our children, our grandchildren today. Provoking to anger really is the opposite of being encouraging. Provoking anger or wrath has the idea of intentionally doing something to discourage or irritate the child. This isn't just for dads. It's especially to dads, but it's for all parents. It's intentionally getting under their skin to irritate them. It is to use one's authority in a way that brings about resentment from the child. Fathers, they provoke their children by always being critical of them, picking away at them, never praising or affirming them, by comparing them to others. They can be provoked when we are inconsistent in discipline as well. The opposite of provoke is to encourage. That's the opposite of to provoke, to build them up. There's a balance that needs to be before us, and we need to affirm our love for them. We do. No two children or people are the same. That's something I've noted about being around others. None of us are the same. Each of our children have a specific and unique personality, a specific gifts, I should say. And let's not try to fit them in the mold of what we believe they ought to be just from our own choices, apart from the Word of God. So, fathers, this is really critical. Your relationship with your children, that's just true of parents, all parents, but that is the biggest thing. So when it comes to some of the next couple of things we're going to get to, it's vital about that relationship. So there may be times when we need to say, look, I was wrong, and I need to seek your forgiveness. Dad or Grandpa didn't respond well in that situation. That can be one of the most empowering things for a relationship. And it takes a lot to get there. But when that's called for, we need to be there. So be encouraging to them. They've got lots of stuff in their life they're going to have to deal with. And you need to be their greatest cheerleader. Okay? You need to be the one that embraces them, that loves them, that hugs them, that tells them, I love you. So be encouraging. Be encouraging. Next thing I see in the scripture, in verse 4, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Two other things here. Be nurturing. Not only be encouraging, but be nurturing here. Now, nurture, or discipline, or training, has the idea of not only instruction, okay, not only are you teaching them the scripture and so forth, but it also includes chastening. All effectual instruction for the sinful children of men includes and implies chastening and correction. Here's where the relationship, I believe, of the parent to the child is critical. Because if we're going to correct them, if we're going to discipline them, and we don't have a relationship with them, you know, if you have a relationship with rules, or if you don't have a relationship and you have rules, I'll tell you, that's a recipe there for rebellion. Relationship without rules, rebellion. I think it really opens the door for that. I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying it, okay? So this, again, is where your relationship to that young one is so important. And it is that we're talking here about discipline. And discipline means, and I can say this, that sometimes a spanking is in order. You might say, whoa, Pastor, is that even legal in Michigan? I looked it up, and it is. You know, we are so influenced by our culture around us. I've noted over the years that we have kind of moved to almost a point where we try to have a back and forth with a 2 or 3-year-old, try to reason with them. Now, you ought not to, and is a reason why. Let me tell you one of the most loving things you can do. I'm not talking about beating a child. I'm not talking about reacting with when our emotions are out of control or reacting in anger. But sometimes there is a call for a spanking that is in order. And you know what? Your children later on will love you for it, probably at the time. I was teaching. This is so vivid in my life. As I look back, I was teaching, I think they were like 4th to 6th graders. I didn't teach that group often. I was in a church, and for some reason that day I think I was stepping in for a teacher. And I was in Hebrews, where it talks about God the Father's love for us. By the way, you know, He loves us, and what does He do? He disciplines us. That's how you know God loves you. He cares enough about you to say, you know what, that's far enough. I'm going to give you a tune-up. I'm going to bring you back to myself where you need to be. I was teaching something in there, and I remember saying something about, well, we know God loves us because He disciplines us, and I wanted to give an illustration of that. And I said, And I said, that is the reason that your parents will discipline you at times, because they love you. And one little guy raised his hand. He said, my dad doesn't love me. And I said, well, why would you? He loves you. I'm sure he loves you. No, he doesn't. I said, why would you say that? He said, he never disciplines me. That's from a child. You know what? They know. They know that they'll know you care enough about them to get them in line and to help them to understand where they need to be. And I don't need to tell you about what's really inside. These beautiful ones up here this morning, deep down inside, they want their own way. And they'll let you know, right? Deep down inside, they're sinful little people. And they need correction. They need guidance. They need instruction. And they will love you for it if it's done right. And I want to say to you, too, this was hard, very hard for me. Not easy. I'm too soft. It takes work. It takes, okay, I'm on top of this. And today we're going to deal with this right now. When Dad gets home, he's going to deal with that. It's not easy. And I think there's some truth to saying this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. You know, when you're on the receiving end of that, you don't believe it. But when you're the one giving it, it's not easy. But it's what's needed. You know, if you look in our society, if you go to school and you look at what goes on there, you want to say, parents, I sure wish you disciplined your children. You make it a lot easier for the teachers. A lot easier for the teachers. And yet there would be some sense of consistency there, and it would bring to the classroom just this opportunity to learn and so forth, and you wouldn't have this chaos that is going on today. But part of nurturing is not just teaching, it's discipline. So, you know, you're going to have to struggle with that and work your way through it. And let me say, it's hard, but it needs to be done. And we had to, at some point, ask ourselves, what kind of home do we want? Do we want our children running our home? Do we want them calling the shots? And they want to, and they will. If you'll let them, they will. So you have to ask yourself. And I think the bigger question to ask is, what kind of home does our God want? What is that? Proverbs 23:13 says, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with the rod, he'll not die. Don't withhold that discipline. And we're in a society now where parents have quit parenting. And we're seeing a lot of that. You and I can't be there. We need to be these kind of people. And grandparents, we have a great responsibility as well. And we need to hold up that responsibility. So finally here, not only to be encouraging, to be nurturing, but to be teaching. Be teaching. Parents have at their disposal. Look again at this scripture. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Instruction of the Lord. And I want to say this, you know, we'll teach our kids all sorts of things, will we not? We'll teach them how to conduct themselves out here or out there. If you're in the outdoors, I'll teach them how to fish. I'll teach them how to hunt. I'll teach them those things. If you're into sports, soccer, whatever, you're going to teach them how to do that. You know what we've done? Sometimes we've said, you know, when it comes to God, I've heard this. When it comes to God, I'm going to let them make up their own minds. What? What are we saying with that? What are we saying? We're saying God's really not that important that your mom or dad or grandpa and grandma, your friend, is going to give you any instruction about him. It's just take it or leave it there. Now, the rest of it, you're going to go to school, and you're going to learn everything there, and you're going to learn how to drive, and you're going to hold to those rules. I'll help you with all that. But when it comes to this, I'll just sort of allow you to make up your own mind. There is such a lie from the devil right there, folks. We are to be teaching. We're to be instructing. When you're out there, who made the clouds? Where did that bird come from? Who provides for our family? Who made you? You know, we have looked at this, too, at times with the church. It's the job of the church. Listen, we're going to provide all we can here. But the responsibility of parents is for them to teach their children. It is. That's the responsibility. It's a great stewardship God has entrusted them with and us with, and parents have at their disposal the living, the breathing, the authoritative, the powerful word of God to pass on to these little ones. We want them to know that God has made a way for them to know him. That's through faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. So parents are the ones that need to be on the forefront of this. Train up a child in the way he should go. We're to do that, to train them up. You know, if we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them to reject him. They will. We have a great responsibility here. I came across something this week, and I want to finish with this, because I think it shows the end product, okay? You know, when you're in the middle of it as parents, that can be overwhelming. Those parents you saw up here this morning, do not forget to pray for them. They have a tremendous job before them. I think being a stay-at-home mom is one of the greatest privileges a woman could ever have. What a powerful job that is, and exhausting, but what an influence she can have. But here it is, folks. You know, we want to pray for them, and the end product is what we want to look at. What are they going to be when you cast them out there? What values are they going to hold dear? Will your faith finally take that and run with it and say, that's my faith? That's what we want. And so we want to do all we can. Ann Graham Lotz, some of you may know her. Maybe many of you will. She's the daughter of Billy Graham. Lost her husband, I believe, less than a month ago. Wonderful man. Wonderful man. She, by the way, is a powerful speaker, a great writer. She wrote this. This is on this side, okay, of losing a husband. This is on this side of growing up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Listen to what she says. The storm of my husband's unexpected death has not shattered my life. While the grief is deep, the loneliness is real, the emotions ebb and flow like the waves of the sea, I have not collapsed. Like the yellow house, I remain standing not only for my own well-being, but also for the well-being of others. For one reason, I know God. I know God. I've developed a relationship with him that's built on the foundation of faith in his word. I know he was, he is, and he will be in absolute control, working everything out for my good and for his eternal purpose. He said so, Romans 8:28. I believe. I know that he's the resurrection and the life, that whoever believes in him, though he dies, yet shall he live. He said so. I believe. How does she get to that point? How does she get to that point? She's had a great privilege in her life. I think a privilege that not enough people have had. And it's not just those people that have that privilege that can come to that point. Any of us can at any point through faith in Christ and growing in him. But she's had a privilege money can't buy. She got to grow up in a Christian home. And I think if you ask Billy Graham, he would say it wasn't a perfect Christian home. There are probably some things he would have done different. But she grew up in a Christian home where there was this honor toward God. We want to honor God. We're taking serious our commitment to the Lord and teaching. We're going to be consistent. We're going to be encouraging these children, nurturing them, and teaching them in the way they ought to go. And you know what, folks? As we look back, we might say, well, you know, oh boy, I really would do things different. You can't undo that, right? But you know what? We can go forward from here today and be what God has called us to be. This world needs it. This community needs it. Your families need it. Your relationship with God is the most important issue. Everything else flows from there. And it is that we ought to think about these things. We want to be consistent in living it because what we believe, they'll see it and they'll know what's dear to us and be encouraging and so forth. Let's pray. Loving Father, we are at a crossroads in this society, that is for sure. And if we would think of what was normal 6 months ago, it wouldn't be what's normal today. And if we would think about what was accepted and what was deemed to be good 10 years ago, that would be long thrown into the ash bin. That's gone now too. Let alone going back 40 or 50 years. We live in a society that is so fast changing it makes our head spin. And the media and our culture, the internet and all these things, they have an impact on us here right now. And so, Father, I pray that we would understand that it is vital that we walk with you as we should, and we live out and live the way we live out the word and live in this society in the way we should. And we want to do that, Father, first of all, for your honor. And secondly, we want to be an impact, an influence. We want to be a great example of what it is to know Jesus Christ and live that out in justice and righteousness. Help us, Father. None of us here today are perfect parents or grandparents or great-grandparents. None of us are the individuals that who you've given us influence over. None of us are perfect individuals in that realm either. But yet, Father, we desire to honor you. We want to instill wherever we're at into others a love for you. And I pray that they will see that in us. Father, for those couples that are up here and our other young families, they're just growing and working their way through this, and they have many challenges, and you know that. I pray that your mercy would pour out, your grace would just empower them. Father, this is the next generation, and we want to see them press hard after you and pursue you and teach their children to do the same. Help us all in this regard, Father. I pray that when you see us living out our faith, that it will be honoring to you. And give us grace with dealing with others. Father, where there's forgiveness, and that's a big issue in our families, I pray that it will be extended and received well. Help us now, Father, to make a difference. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I just ask that you'd let me get to the back and you can be dismissed.